Hello, welcome to Cadaver Gals. Yep, we're still here every week. This is the podcast where we talk about all of the ways people have died to cope with our own mortality. I'm your host, Taylor, along with Gabby.
Hello.
And Nika.
Yippee-ki-yay. Yes.
Alrighty. Today we're going to talk about a meth party and the dangers of the hair salon. Today's trigger warnings are drugs, sex, suicide, beauty treatments, spinal injuries, people being freaky, and, you know, death and bodies and all that stuff that we generally talk about.
That sounds like the trajectory of my life.
All right, let's hit it. Cadaver Gals! All right. That was great, as usual. Love the music. Gabby, will you please go right into this meth party? I need to know everything.
Need to know everything about this meth party. Well, someone does die, so just so you guys know, it's not just about a meth party. And it might be more accurate to characterize it as a death party. So,
Oh, that's worse?
Worse? Better? I don't know.
I don't know.
Meth and death rhyming is sus to me, you know?
It's like okay. They planned it that way.
They're like, what runs with death? We're making this new drug and we don't know what to call it.
Yeah, this what thing that could cry death could be the thing that's like the number one killer of people in America. What should it run anyway? Yeah, that's what scientists did. Okay, again, questioning big science on Cadaver Gals. Okay. So, as per usual, this was a story where if you looked at the headline of it, you're like, ha, 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 aren't people ridiculous? But then you get more into the details and you're like, life is futile. We're going to January 24th, 2019 in Brown County, Minnesota. You know, I'm not going to tell you where that is because it's Minnesota. What's up in there, you know? And there's a deputy sheriff. He got a call dispatched at 11:44 a.m. to go check out a residence. And once he arrived at the location, he saw that the front screen door of the residence had the words death, parday, God, hell written in red spray paint. And it was parday, like P-A-R-D-E. But I'm thinking maybe it was supposed to be party. So death, party, yeah. God, hell. And when the deputy, his name's Jason, we're going to call him Deputy Jason in this story. When he got to the door, a man named Dwayne Johnson opened it up. Dwayne was
The Rock Johnson?
No. His name was spelled D-U-A-N-E. It was The Rock opened the door. Okay. This is about The Rock.
The Rock's like, what's up?
Here I am. Hot bald man. Okay.
But no, it's Dwayne spelled a different way. And also he is a very scary looking white man who is probably very frail. So opposite Rock. Just that's what
frail
you can imagine.
White men. Oof, my dating history. Kidding. Sorry.
Mine's just anxious white men. Anyway, okay. So Dwayne was completely naked as he opened the screen door and he yelled at the deputy. He was like, my wife is dead upstairs. And then Deputy Jason was like, why aren't you wearing any clothes? And he was like, I need to wash all of this stuff off of me. And so then Dwayne goes back into his house. The officer comes in and they go into the bathroom and they start doing this like initial interview because obviously Dwayne had just said like, hey, my wife's dead upstairs. So questionable.
Yeah. You're like, okay, but like context here, what was going on? What's the stuff on you?
Deputy Jason was like, we need context for this, I think, you know, but he also called for backup, you know, because he couldn't handle this frail man who was, I think Dwayne was about 58 when this happened. And so the naked man in the bathtub with Deputy Jason, because, you know, Dwayne said, yeah, I have to wash this stuff off of me.
Right.
And so Dwayne said that, you know, started, you know, sort of telling him this really incoherent story at first. He was like, my wife has been shaking really violently and I just couldn't stand seeing her flop around anymore. And then Jason asked Dwayne, like, why didn't you call an ambulance if that was the case? And then he was like, them motherfuckers would revive her and them motherfuckers at New Ulm, which is the name of the hospital, you know, made my life shit. And also he started kind of like talking about how he had made this promise to his wife that she didn't want to go to a nursing home. She didn't want to go back to a hospital. And then in the meantime, like, he's like telling him the story, and Dwayne is trying to rub what he says these little white and black things off of his skin, but there's actually, you know, nothing on his skin. So he's just sort of like hallucinating that something was there.
Oh no, that's scary.
So, you know, the backup came, you know, to secure this location or whatever, and they started to, you know, piecing the story a little bit more together. They went upstairs, and in fact, there was his wife was up there. Her name was Deborah Johnson. She was age 69, and she was wrapped in a white sheet. And so the deputies all start interviewing Dwayne again to see kind of what happened. And he said he wrapped her in a white sheet because of some reference to the Old Testament. He was trying to give her like a religious, or, you know, basically he just wanted to, you know, prepare her body in the way that the Bible says that you should. So he wrapped her in the white sheet. And basically what they sort of started figuring out is about a week ago, Deborah had been checked in to a hospital because she wasn't doing very well. She had several chronic illnesses. She had diabetes. She had also had two previous cardiac arrests, and she had high blood pressure and some other medical issues. And her diabetes, like, she wasn't taking her medication very regularly, but her vitals were okay. So she got checked out of the hospital, but then shortly after that, she started feeling worse and just started like shaking violently and having these convulsions. And that was kind of what Dwayne was describing. But it sounds like what was happening is she was having seizures, basically. But but Dwayne kept insisting, being like, and he said this, "I'm an idiot. I'm a moron. I can't lie because I'm too stupid to plan ahead and lie." So that's, okay. He was trying to like tell the officers like, "Hey, I'm not lying about this. This is what she wanted. She wanted to like die at home. So I didn't like want to take her back to the hospital because she was feeling bad, because she kept insisting like, hey, don't take me there. I don't want to go there." Also, Dwayne, though, was trying to clean invisible things off of his body. So hard to know exactly what was going on. And so Dwayne also said that his wife, Deborah, was like, "Hey, I want to have a death party." So countdown, 5 days down to her before her death, they start this death party. And what this death party entails is they play one of their favorite songs. It's called "Mental Health" by the band Quiet Riot. And they play that song really loud. About 2 days before she passed away, Dwayne administered some meth to her. He had also been taking meth this whole time.
Hence the stuff on his body that wasn't really there, I suppose, right?
Yes, most likely that is the case. Obviously, it's like from afar, it's like a death party, doing meth, listen to rock music, ha ha ha. But it's also like apparently throughout the 5 days, he just kept turning the music up louder and louder because he didn't want Deborah to see him like crying or like hear him crying. And so it was just like,
that's so sad.
Yeah. And it just gets kind of like, she stops like taking fluids a couple days, or like drinking fluids a few days before she dies. So like he would go outside in the snow, and he was like bringing her snow, like ice chips, and putting them in her mouth. And that was like the only sort of fluid she was getting. And then Deborah, according to Dwayne, had insisted that she wanted to have sex before she died. So we're up to 2 hours before she dies. Dwayne said they had vaginal penile sex. And then that is finally when she stopped shaking. And he was like, "I think she was enjoying it."
Oh, Debbie.
But then she did, in the next hour and a half, die. So she had the sex. Well, she had the death party. She had the rock music. She had the meth. She stopped taking fluids. She had the ice from the outside. She had the sex. Then she had the death.
She had sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, it sounds like she got what she wanted, which I think is really important and good for people who are not feeling so hot.
Yes, but it also sounds like a 5 miserable days of her also being like having seizures constantly. So I don't know exactly where the decision making was coming from. So after, you know, the people were on the scene, they found her wrapped in this sheet. You know, Dwayne throughout the whole conversation was like making a lot of Old Testament references. He had also said that his wife had like, Deborah had disabled all the phones in the house, and that's also why he couldn't call an ambulance. But then they looked at the phones and they're like, the phones are fine. There was a lot of meth happening, so you can kind of understand why it's a little incoherent exactly what was happening.
It's a little messy.
Yeah.
Meth is messy.
So then they arrest Dwayne because he is guilty They currently have enough evidence that he is guilty of two different felonies. One of the felonies is criminal neglect. Knows that a deprivation will result in substantial or great bodily harm because, you know, he did know that, like, she wanted to die. And this is how, I mean, they could have taken to her hospital, but she didn't want to go to a hospital. She didn't want to go to a nursing home because, as Dwayne would say, the motherfuckers, you know, would revive her. And that's not what she wanted. But then he also got charged with a felony because when they searched the house, they found 47 firearms.
Oh, that's a lot.
Many of which were stolen.
Oh, that's bad.
So this went from like a romantic story to, you know, a crime.
Yes.
Well, I mean, done, what Mika.
Is love? It, love is a crime, you know, at the end of the day. So he went to court and he was sentenced in 2019 to 3 years in federal prison. So now he is serving time.
Wow. Well, thank you, Gabby.
Wow, indeed.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, take a breather. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that. All right. Welcome back, all you cadaver pals. Gabby was just telling us about this poor woman, Debbie, who was sick, miserable, and wanted to find a way out, which was suicide. But it seems like there should be, you know, a better way to, you know, if you have a terminal illness.
Well, I wouldn't say it was suicide. I mean, I guess it is kind of suicide, but I wouldn't categorize it necessarily as... looks like you have a thought.
I do have... Well, my thought is that technically speaking, that is. However, the lines get extremely blurred because her husband was there and because also drugs were involved. That is it coercion? And then from there, then that becomes murder. Or manslaughter, I guess.
But this is criminal neglect, technically.
Or criminal neglect. So the lines are just very fuzzy with that. So the good news is that in some instances, there you do have options for assisted suicide in many countries. And shockingly, I didn't realize that there are actually some states in the U.S. that you can get assisted suicide. Actually, it's technically euthanasia. There's a difference between assisted suicide and euthanasia. Euthanasia is when a doctor actually, like, administers the drug, and then assisted suicide is if, like, somebody prescribes you the medication, but then you, the patient themselves, administers it to themselves.
Is there an option for a death party in any of these places?
I think in that instance, like, you, in these states, like, you could have a death party, but... I mean, and that's all fine, but it's very tricky. You have to be really careful to not make it seem like you were, because you want to make sure that it doesn't look like you're coercing this person. So anyway, basically, if you are terminally ill and a doctor can prescribe a lethal dose of medicine, which is legal in Vermont, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Hawaii, New Jersey, and DC. Oh, and most recently, Maine, actually. These are all relatively new laws that have come about. And then California and Montana, you have to go to court and they have to rule that, you know, it's okay or whatever. So, but it's a very complex issue for so many states because there's the fear that those dang insurance companies, they would potentially be coercing the patients, right? Because they're like, oh yeah, you can do this. This is an option for you so that they don't basically have to pay for the treatment of whatever it is that they have wrong with them.
I just like insurance companies always seem so evil. Why can't you just be nice? Just give me some money because I give you money.
Exactly. I give you money every freaking month so that I can then pay for all of my drugs also out of pocket. Makes no sense. I really don't understand. Somebody out there, please tell me how insurance works. Okay.
That's a different podcast, not Cadaver Gals.
But then, like we were talking about earlier, like, you know, you can't persuade anybody to do that or else you can get in trouble. But the general rule is that you must be terminal and incurable and in a lot of instances have no more than 6 months left to live. But there are other countries where you can actually go to. It's legal in a lot of other countries, but you can actually go to some countries as a non-citizen and also get assisted suicide, which Switzerland is the most popular. They have a suicide tourism. So enough people go there to where there is actually tourism for it. And the thing about Switzerland and the reason people go there is their rules are a little bit more vague. And the fact that you don't have to be a citizen. So in like 4 years, the assisted suicide there has more than doubled. They have about 600 cases a year, and a third of those are from other countries. But they have to meet the criteria of an incurable disease with intolerable pain, or you got to be like just like really, really old.
So you can't just be sad.
You can't just be sad, no.
And you must... Oh my God.
You have to go through this process too. They have to determine whether it's reasonable. And it costs about 10,000 euros. You got to get there. But then after you get there and however many days you stay to like hang out, and then 10,000 euros, they'll prescribe the lethal dose of the medication, and the patient must administer it themselves. And it's like it's through an IV. And so like you have to turn, you know, the drip on. But there are some patients that, you know, they're not able enough to do that. But they said, don't you worry. We've made it so easy that all you have to do is like essentially like touch the IV thing. And so like just bump it a little bit. They were like, don't
this
you worry.
This is so intense.
Don't I know. You worry.
We did do the trigger suicide warning, right?
Yes, we definitely did.
Okay, this is, yeah.
there are these societies. It's not like you go to a hospital, I guess. I mean, there's obviously a doctor, but it's not like you're not at a hospital or whatever, or they come to you. And so once complete, the society will call the cops, and the cops do their investigation to confirm that the criteria was met and there was no foul play.
So they call the cops on themselves, kind of.
Yeah. They like literally call the cops on themselves. But so those are your options. Now you know. And even like in the U.S. too, though, like now I feel all weird because like, you know, even mentioning this as an option to somebody is coercion to some degree. So, but I'm not telling anyone to do this. So please don't do that.
Yeah, we're not coercing anybody. We're just talking amongst friends and then putting it on an internet site. It's fine. It's different. It also seems like it's another thing that's reserved for rich people too.
Yeah, 10,000 euros. I mean, that's not cheap. I mean, I don't have 10,000 euros just rolling around in my pocket.
Yeah.
Taylor, if you have 10,000 euros lying around, I will rob you with a Kinder egg. So,
well, good news for me. I do not. So, but you know, I actually spend a lot of my money on getting my hair done. And Nika, you have a warning for us.
Oh, I do. I'm hoping this is less depressing than Gabby's story, but I think it's just a different kind
There's
of depressing.
Still death, so
here we go. Yeah.
It's one of those episodes. We're having less fun. I think also we should tell our listeners we're all very tired.
Yeah, we are.
That's why we're just like, and here's a sad thing. This thing seemed funny, but it was sad. Everything's just sad. We're talking about suicide. It's sad.
Well, Gabby, I do love that you mentioned how that meth death party was like, this is another moment where the article was funny, but there's more to the story than just like the article title. Because I feel like that happens all the time. It's like
Remember, crazy cannibal killer.
Yeah, it's like the crazy cannibal killer had severe mental health issues. Anyway.
Oh, I forgot to mention that Debbie also had big mental health issues. She had affective disorder, which is a manic disorder. So she had been, at one point they wanted to put her in a psychiatric facility, but then she was like, Dwayne, don't let them do it. So anyway,
he said, not today.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson coming as a hero. I love it. Okay. So y'all know I am literally about everything related to beauty products and treatments. I just love all of that kind of stuff. There's almost nothing more luxurious than getting a facial or a massage. Somehow it makes me feel like I am fighting death. I'm like staring death in the face. And I'm like, not today, by taking care of myself. As Taylor said, we love going to the hair salon. We love a new hair color or getting your hair washed and your scalp is being touched and massaged and it feels so good.
I love getting my hair shampooed at the salon. It is my favorite.
I just like close my eyes like a little chihuahua in a bath. Like I love it. The problem is that sometimes it can give you a stroke.
What about, I'm going to get a bang trim soon. Am I going to get a stroke from my bangs?
Hopefully not.
Okay, let's hear it, Nika. This sounds
great.
Cannot
confirm. No, so it has happened before where you will be in the hair salon getting your hair washed and then you get a stroke later. And this has happened to multiple people. It's called beauty parlor syndrome, which is super weird. Like, we don't really go to beauty parlors anymore. So I feel like the National Library of Medicine should have, like, picked a better name, but whatever.
Well, it's not that we don't go to beauty parlors. We just call them something different now. My grandmother still calls it the beauty parlor.
Oh, really? That's cute. I call it my favorite place. Okay. So, my special place. Okay, so because we are in the U.S., I obviously found someone who sued for it. Do y'all want to hear her story?
Absolutely.
Yay. Yes, queen.
So, I'm not going to be discriminatory, but we're not surprised that she is a 48-year-old white woman that she sued for this. Like, we're not surprised. So, her name's Elizabeth Smith, and she is a woman living in California, and she had a stroke after getting a blowout at a salon called The Blow Bunny.
Okay.
The Blow Bunny.
Let me go to the Blow Bunny.
You know, one of the greatest things is salon names. Like, there's the so many puns and weirdness going on there.
I feel like blowouts are hard because they sound like blowjobs. So I just don't
leave it to Nika.
Yeah, like my mom's friend who's from Europe came to the U.S. and she was just like trying to get a blowout, but then she called the salon. She's like, hello, I'm trying to get a blowjob. They're just like, no.
No.
I want you to blow my hair. It technically is.
You know people, you know that if you ask somebody right now that works in a salon, you know they get that request all of the time.
All the
time. Know what they're talking about. Yeah. They know that you're not actually there.
For fellatio.
Wait, you don't go to the salon for fellatio? Okay, anyway, sorry. We live in different worlds. Okay, no. What?
Okay.
Moving
on. So basically, we are moving on. So basically, according to her lawyers, the stroke was caused by a defective shampoo bowl when she was getting her hair shampooed that hyperextended her neck and, quote unquote, cut her vertebral artery. And this led to a stroke 2 weeks after getting her hair done.
So that I feel like that's not on the salon on the salon for having those because somebody else has to be regulating those things, right?
Well, I think some of the older ones, so beauty parlor syndrome, the term was coined in just 1993. So obviously people have been getting their hair washed in beauty parlors far before then. So I feel like maybe
that's true.
Newer, yeah.
Thanks, Gabby. I in fact got my hair done before 93.
Oh, I wasn't born, but that's fine. So I feel like now that more people know about this, the newer shampoo bowls are probably better for you. But regardless, like, I don't think it's their fault necessarily, you know, because they do this to people all the time. It usually doesn't happen. Also, it tends to affect people who already have, like, conditions, to like, especially for strokes and stuff like that.
Like pre-conditioner?
No.
Okay.
You're so rude, Gabby. Now, but what I will say is it is like entirely possible. And I read about how Blow Bunny responded, and they basically this is kind of gaslighty on Blow Bunny's part. They said, listen.
That's just like Blow Bunny's gaslighting me.
Well, listen to what they said. They said that Elizabeth caused her own injuries. The actual transcript that I read said she, quote unquote, failed to exercise any degree of care for her own safety and as a result, proximately caused her own injuries. Like, that's gaslighting. Like, they basically said, you don't care about yourself and that's why you got a stroke.
Well, okay, here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say about all of this. When it comes to legal matters, like, they're obviously going to say what is necessary to win a case. Right? And it's not them saying it. This is just the lawyer, right? I'm defending the Blow Bunny.
No, this is actually Blow Bunny, the bunny mascot, saying this to Elizabeth.
It's like a blow up bunny in the front.
A blow up bunny at the front of the court being like, Your Honor, she hates herself. Oh, gosh. We're so delirious.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, listen. So I want to talk a little bit more about the science behind this because honestly, it's really scary. It scared me. So here we go. And I don't really think about death like that. As I said, this was coined in 1993, and it was in a study done by Michael I. Weintraub, weird last name. And basically what he did, he studied 5 cases of women who were hospitalized for neurological symptoms like dizziness and muscle weakness and numbness, which all eventually led to strokes. And all 5 women had recently gotten their hair washed at a beauty salon. So he was like,
that's suspicious.
That's suspicious. That's exactly what he said. Exactly. Thank you, Taylor.
My name is Weintraub, and that's suspicious for the blow bunnies. What is this story, Nika? This is fake.
No, it's not. I researched it heavily. Stop. Also, you already approved my outline, you bitch.
Did she, like, though?
She did. I was like, this is fake. I'm like, bitch, you literally approved it. Anyway, so it turns out that he discovered that leaning your head on the sink, especially older sinks that you get your hair washed in, can lead to, I hate talking about this, can lead to a tear in your vertebral artery, which is very important because this artery supplies a lot of blood flow to a good chunk of your brain.
Ugh. Oh, so, handy.
That's like your, yeah, we've talked about this. Your neck we is have. Just a noodle holding up your heavy head that has all of the things of your consciousness and that controls your whole body. So that's safe.
Yo, would it be pass like a weed. Penis? So if there's like no blood flowing to it, your brain wouldn't be erect anymore?
Oh, gosh. Sure, Gabby. Sure. Yes. So anyway, so obviously it supplies a lot of blood flow to your brain. So if there is a tear in that artery, then a blood clot happens. And then the blood flow is obviously slowed or stops, which can lead to a stroke. We love science. So it's not so much the hairdresser part of it. Like, it's not the hairdresser's fault necessarily, although I think that, you know, hairdressers should be aware of this syndrome, but it's more of the movement of extending your neck in that way for a period of time. And beauty parlor syndrome has been found in people who maybe did yoga and hyperextended their necks or sneezed the wrong way, or in people who literally just got out of bed weird. Like, we can't control it necessarily other than, like, being careful with our necks. But I do yoga all the time and I stretch all the time. So I'm like, oh my gosh, am I gonna give myself a blood clot? You know?
So now we're just afraid to do everything, like get out of bed.
Yeah, I like how that went from like going to the beauty salon to just getting out of bed. I feel like the salon is really being misrepresented by being the figurehead of this syndrome. I think it should be called getting out of bed syndrome or yoga syndrome.
Well, or like just hyperextension of the neck syndrome. You know, why is it BPS? Like, I'm confused. Yeah. We don't need to call it that, you know?
Taking down science yet again.
Well, I just don't want them coming against, like, my girl Stacy, who does my hair. She's doing nothing wrong. No one's doing anything wrong at the beauty salon. Obviously, look at me.
Okay, but here's what I will say. Y'all have experienced discomfort at the shampoo bowl at a beauty salon? Yes, right?
No.
What? Oh, no. Are you serious?
I haven't. I love it. Like, I'll put my in, like,
my neck hurts sometimes. Oh. I'm scared.
Well, see, I'm.
Maybe you just have a weird neck.
I hope so. I'm terrified. Anyway, so though it's terrifying, yes, it is thankfully very rare. Not many people have died from it. I literally only found 2 confirmed deaths of this syndrome. And in one case, again, beauty salons being misrepresented. The woman wasn't even at the salon. She was getting surgery from stab wounds, and they put her neck while she was under anesthesia in a wrong position to give her like a breathing tube. And she died after being operated on due to the hyperextension of the neck. So she like didn't die from the stab wounds. She died from beauty parlor syndrome, from the hyperextension, which is crazy.
They're like, the beauty parlor did it. They did it over there, you know.
I know. Meanwhile, it's like the doctors that messed up.
Yeah.
So I read an interview. Someone interviewed a doctor about this, and the doctor said, you shouldn't be scared of this. It is very rare. He said, obviously, take care of your neck, take care of your body. He told us that the best thing you can do is to maybe have a towel on your neck when you're getting your hair washed and not staying in that position for too long. But he literally said, don't stress about it because there's literally nothing we can do. If you're going to stress about it, then just don't get out of bed, basically, because it could happen if you get out of bed wrong. So calm down, everyone, you know?
Noted. That's good news. Back to bed.
Yeah. So that's my story. I... I will say it scared me. But you know, what doesn't?
I was a little alarmed at first, but you calmed me down by the end. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, all you cadaver pals. Nika just shared with us some of the dangers of the beauty parlor, and I'm going to share with you all of the misogynistic history and dangers of lash extensions, okay?
Good tangent, Taylor. It's like kind of like what we were talking about, but also very different. But I'm glad we're going to learn this history.
Look, it's a beauty thing, okay? So there's this rumor out there that is very false, that a prostitute created false lashes to keep, you know, the bodily fluids out of their eyes.
But wait, what do you mean by that?
Unborn babes.
No, male stuff. You know,
male tears?
Yep, that's it. Male tears from male the nether region.
Milk.
Okay.
No,
nope.
Gabby got what she wanted.
Nope.
She was asking Taylor to do it, but I did it. Nope. I just sacrificed myself for Taylor.
Nope. Anyway, this is not true. Don't listen to those people. They're wrong. The real story begins in ancient Rome. There is this writer named Pliny the Elder. He was a writer and decided to just randomly declare that a lot of sex make your eyelashes fall out. So to prove your purity, you must have long lashes. So women were like, oh gosh, no, I have like no eyelashes. I should do something about that or people are going to think that I'm a hoe bag. So, so everyone's trying to have like these really long lashes to prove that they're not having sex. So women innovating, love that for them.
What did their lashes look like?
So they were actually using needles to sew like human like hair into their eyelids.
That wouldn't stay up.
Yeah, it would just be flopping in your eye.
Look, it like didn't go well,
bangs,
okay?
But for eyes.
I mean, then you would obviously stay a virgin because nobody wants to have sex with that. We're just like, kind of like
me being like, I've seen enough for the day. Like, styles my eye bangs downward.
Like eye curtains.
Honestly.
They would either sew them in, which was awful, but like a lot of people would like not commit that hard and they would glue human hair to their lids, which also was not very successful and would damage the follicles, and then they'd fall out and then they'd have like no eyelashes again.
And then they're real hoes.
Yeah, real hoes have no eyelashes.
Well, let's fast forward then to the 1400s, and the church was like, just kidding, hair is erotic. So the women were like, okay, so now we have to pluck out our eyebrows and eyelashes. Okay, that's great. And they would even do like a receding hairline. So like in all those oil paintings of women with like big foreheads and no eyebrows, aka like Mona Lisa, this was because people were like, hair means you're a whore, which is ridiculous.
Oh no.
And then the women were like, guys, this is ridiculous. I keep getting stuff in my eyes. Like eyelashes serve a purpose. They keep debris out of my eyes. So please let's stop this dumbassery. Like this is ridiculous. Okay, so this is a total tangent. But you know me and horses, and I read a horse fact.
Oh,
so.
My goodness, Taylor, why?
Where are we going with this?
Where are we going?
Where are we going?
So I read that Queen Elizabeth I, we've all seen her in paintings. She has red hair, which, like, everybody thought was super cool. And so everybody was, like, dyeing their hair red. This all came about because her eyebrows were also red. But she was wearing a wig. So we don't actually know if she actually had red hair or she was dyeing her eyebrows or what. But she liked the color so much that she would dye her horse's tails the same color as her hair, and so that she could match her horse's. And I think that is adorable.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
That's like me matching like cow print boots with all of the cow print people.
Exactly.
That made no cow sense.
Cow print people.
Wait. Great. So did that mean her horse was a whore?
No.
Okay, so it just didn't. I was still stuck on the purity and the whores and like what
Taylor,
it meant with your eyebrows.
Can a horse be a hoe?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I also don't think humans are either.
Yeah, agreed.
So
anyway. We're getting somewhere. We're okay. On this roller coaster.
All right. So anyway, what was I even talking about from the very beginning? Okay. So,
eyebrows. They didn't have eyebrows in the 1400s, and then
right. So, like, all of these are big dumb rumors that you know, lonely men try to oppress and sexualize women about. So, eventually, women are just like, it's not worth it to be sewing hair into our faces or plucking them out of our faces. So it kind of trends out as fashion does. But then don't you worry, it trends back in. This boss woman, Anna Taylor, she decides to patent fake eyelashes that she used to fabric and hair. And then in 1915, a hairdresser, Carl Nessler, he advertised selling his services of using the eyelashes. And then Hollywood starlets start wearing them, and then it becomes a thing again. But fun fact, a lot of men were all freaked out by the fake eyelashes and thought they looked like a torture device. And I just like really liked them thinking that, because they were the ones that like started all of this like nonsense about what your eyelashes should look like. Like, come on, that's ridiculous.
Those specific men were in the Roman Empire saying exactly that same shit, yeah. You know, so hypocrites.
It's mean. All the same thing.
Yeah, I'm going to be mean to all the men in my life right now because they were the Roman Empire and told girls that they were hoes if they had.
Exactly. If they had.
No eyelashes.
Exactly. But anyway, so now it's obviously a relatively common thing. There's, you know, a different range of ways that you can achieve the lash look, the flirty lashes.
I know so many. Sorry.
They're, you know, you can actually get them professionally done, or, you know, they're affordable. You can get them at the local drugstore, whatever. But you should know there are dangers to them. A lot of people do get eye infections and allergic reactions. You can also damage your follicles and then reduce the natural growth
yep.
of your lashes.
Yep.
So beware. But as far as I can tell, no one has died from eyelash extensions. So you do you. Just know the risks.
But does that mean I'm a hoe or a virgin? Wait, I just don't know how to think about myself now.
Well, here, see, let me just simplify it for you.
Taylor, free us.
We are no longer associating lash length with virginity.
Wow.
Or any kind of sexualization, okay? I'm
going to
declare this right now if it wasn't clear before.
Thank you.
Have whatever lashes you want.
Or just that you have. Or that you want.
Exactly.
Okay, they kind of had matter. A point, though. They kind of had a point, though, in the Roman Empire with, like, you know, less lashes equals more sex. Because, sorry, mommy, for talking about this. But when I used to put lash extensions on myself, or just, like, individual lashes. I would, like, glue them on my eyes. And whenever I would move around with someone... I always found those little eyelashes littered around this person's bed, littered around my bathroom. And I was like, damn, they really just be falling off, you know.
But that's fake ones.
I mean, yeah,
that's
true.
And they be falling off anyway.
Well, you don't know my glue handiwork, but yes.
You're just like marking your territory, but with your fake eyelashes.
Absolutely.
You're like shedding your skin like a weird demon, but just your eyes.
That is, I have been called that by the people I move around with in my life. So, yes. They also look like little mini spiders, which I find fun because you go to the bathroom at like 2 a.m. and then you turn the bathroom light on and there's like little mini demons spiders.
I don't like that. I don't want to end this podcast on the image of demon spiders that are really just eyelashes. Oh, actually, I have a fun fact. Oh, you know, you have like... They're like all these bugs that be chilling in your eyelashes.
Ew.
These
mice. I don't need to hear that.
They're
there.
Where are they?
You can't see them.
My eyes
there.
Are itchy.
I'm trying to help you, though.
Taylor, this isn't fun.
I literally just start crying. I can't see them.
But what you can do.
Because I'm like looking at my, I'm like.
Okay, rein it back in. You can put, if you have lavender oil and you put that in your mascara, because it also gets, you know, in your mascara, then the lavender oil will kill them. So
I'm buying lavender oil, like, literally today. Like I'm literally going to go to the store after
and
this.
You know what else it does? It, like, lubricates the mascara, and so you end up getting more mascara out of it.
Mascara, so there you go. Lube.
Nika's about to go to the store to get like lavender oil and just dunk her whole like face into it.
Right. I know. I'm going to put it directly into my eyeballs.
Ew, Taylor, why did you say that? I mean, I don't care about all the suicide stuff we said earlier, but these mite lashes I can't handle.
That's where you stop. That's where Gabby's like, I'm clocking out. I don't need this anymore.
Well, sorry about that, but this has been another thrilling episode in the can. Until next week, goodbye.
Cadaver Gals.
Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It is hosted, produced, mixed, researched, etc. by Gabby Watts, Nika Duarte, and Taylor Church. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Cadaver Gals.